Welcome back out. It's Sports Call live from SEC Media Days here in Birmingham, broadcasting live from Radio Row. I'm your host, J.J. Jackson. Joining me on the program today, Tom Peavy and Ryan Lavoie. So many great conversations that we've had this week on Sports Call. And you need to make sure you check out the Sports Call podcast that's brought to you by our friends over at Mountain Dew. If you ever miss our show live or you want to go back and listen to something again, make sure you go back and listen to our show on demand wherever it is that you get your podcasts and join Ice Cold Mountain Dew to go along with the hottest sports talk. Do the Dew with Auburn's first and Auburn's favorite sports talk show. And now joining us live at SEC Media Days here on Radio Row, it's our friend Sam Blum of AL.com. Sam! It's always been over the phone. It's nice to have you here in person.
I know. Wow. It's unbelievable. I'm actually sitting here seeing those orange shirts that you guys talked about.
That's right,
you really, I couldn't, you know, you really do stand out. I'm walking around without my glasses and it's easy to find
us. And it was easy to find us. Yeah. That's obviously awesome here. And we've been talking on the show, Georgia Day, and a lot of folks on our show like to call in. They love their Georgia Bulldogs. And then, of course, everybody loves their Auburn Tigers in the area. Something that was brought up to head coach Kirby Smart by none other than you, Sam Blum, what was George Pickens, and everybody starting to reopen the recruitment of George Pickens and the versatile wide receiver that he is.
Yeah, I mean, George Pickens, when he on February 6th decided he was not going to be going to Auburn after 2 years of, you don't want to say it's an assured commitment, but a commitment's a commitment, and he obviously he planned to go to Auburn, made that flip on signing day. It was a really big deal at the time, and even Gus commented on it, something Gus really doesn't typically do when players decide to flip or not go there or for whatever reason. But he even talked about George because it was a special pickup for them, and so at Kirby today basically was just, kind of detailed the reasons why he thought that they were able to get George, which was, one, they thought maybe a stable quarterback situation with Jake Fromm. They felt like they had done a good job of bringing him onto campus. They felt like, that he was just a good fit, just had gotten a chance to know the program really well. It was interesting when we actually asked Jake Fromm about it afterward. He said, we have a good relationship, me and Jordan. He doesn't respond to any of my text messages. So, I think it maybe kind of like looks towards the problems that this whole situation with Auburn and George, which was that they obviously wasn't like a locked in situation. And maybe that's kind of what Jake Fromm's even alluding to there. But, he's a kid. He's an 18-year-old, and you wish him nothing, as Gus says, nothing but the best.
And then later in that press conference, Sam, Kirby Smart was asked about the Deep South's oldest rivalry and had some things to say about that. As far as the rivalry itself, it being 150 years of college football, do you feel that Kirby Smart really values, based off what he's talked about, do you feel like he really values that rivalry and kind of understands the importance of it to the fan base?
I think that any coach you'll hear from this week, the most important thing and really one of the most key parts of their job is to feel what the fans feel and at least to portray that. Whether or not, you're of Auburn or of Georgia, obviously Kirby Smart, is a Georgia guy, so you expect him to kind of have that feeling a little bit more. But, I think it's important for these coaches and for any coach to really feel what the fans are feeling. And so, he did a good job, I thought, today of answering that question and, speaking to the history of it. Now they played in Columbus. Didn't start in Columbus, but they did play in Columbus.
Right.
Someone on the program that might be saying words right now in a suspicious tone might have falsely reported that on Twitter.
But I think that's the role of the head coach, and it's if you can make the fans when you're sad when they're sad, if you're happy when they're happy, like that's such an important role. So I think that whether or not you care about 150 years of this rivalry is irrelevant as long as you make people feel like you care about it.
It was a week or two ago that we had you on the program, and we reminded our listeners that, Sam, you're gearing up for your first week here at SEC Media Days. What have you taken in so far?
Well, like I said before, when I covered the ACC, I was in and out in an afternoon. But here it's the morning. You got receptions at night. You got multiple meals. You have, coaches and long breaks, just got to fill the time. The Radio Row is a little bit bigger. It's a different experience, and it certainly goes on for a long time. And Gus will be going very much last. The one thing I actually thought was interesting today was Jeremy Pruitt up on the podium. You know, you get 30 minutes up there for an opening statement, quote-unquote, and then you get some... Most of it's supposed to be the question and answer portion. But he went on for 21 minutes.
It was ridiculous.
and it was like, man, I thought the funniest parts where he was started talking about, oh, you know, we got our kickers coming back. And I was like, when are you going to start the long snapping? You know, I mean, when are we going to break down, like, you know, he's going through, like, clearly trying to not answer any questions. You know, I thought to myself, man, like, I don't think Gus Malzahn could physically talk for 21 minutes in a row uninterrupted. So, you know, I'm trying to think. I'm sure he'll go for about 45 seconds at most in his opener on Thursday. But you get the contrast of how these coaches handle it and who wants to answer questions, who doesn't, who's good at kind of just going on and on like I'm doing right now.
Well, it being your first one, obviously in what we do here in journalism, we don't really get starstruck over coaches or players because the two we deal with, but your first time, do you find yourself getting starstruck over some of the bigger media folks that maybe you've never seen?
Right, yeah, a little bit. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, I think it is cool a little bit that you get to see some names that I it's another radio show I do, and I just met Brett Beard, so sure. Good guy. You know, I talk to him every week, but now I actually get to meet him, and, you know, I'm a little starstruck by him. Yeah, I mean it's cool. I mean, obviously, you know, you see all the TV. I'm always like walking through these TV shots, like looking at the camera.
Yeah.
You know? They clearly don't want me to, but you know, gotta get fans. And when I'm asking questions at in the main room, I get to, you know, be on the SEC network.
Yeah.
So. Tell my mom to turn on the TV.
Some TV time for Sam Blum.
Right? You know, that's why we do this, right? To get famous.
There's still a photo of me on the SportsCenter set that I didn't even know I was standing there, and that still floats around out there. Some buddies of mine, especially every time Media Days pops up. Make sure they always have that picture of me on SportsCenter because the joke is, hey, Tom finally made it to ESPN. It's about as close as he's going to get.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it's about. I mean, you know, I don't know if I'm ever going to be on television any other way, so just got to sneak your way into some shots.
Well, I wanted to mention, because you talked about the Jeremy Pruitt thing, and I'm looking right at it as I'm typing it in tonight's recap. That was flabbergasting, honestly, 21 of 30 minutes. But conversely, right after that, Jimbo Fisher went about 2 minutes or 3 minutes and then had a nice long 25-plus minute or 20-plus minute Q&A session. I just want to ask you, because obviously being in the ACC, you've dealt with Jimbo Fisher before, I guess. Or did that even overlap?
I remember there was some sort of controversy going on when I was there, and it was might have been working for other job type of controversy. But
oh, sure.
And it was because it's so different in the ACC where they do something like this. They have a little Q&A, but that's really just 15 minutes, and then they'll have an hour where they'll sit at a table like you guys are at right now, and just, you know, people come and ask questions, and you have, it's a little bit more personal. And I think that was, you know, It's just way different. And I think, you know, it's an interesting, when you talk a lot about the media environment, now we're at Media Days, but, you know, it's so hard. And I think it's so hard to get, like, a, you know, any type of connection at this place. I mean, that was one thing I really enjoyed about covering the ACC. And even a few years back when there was probably less media, you had just an opportunity to sit there and have pretty much a one-on-one conversation with some people. And now it's like, today Jake Fromm is, you know, being, we have to wait 15 minutes to even get like a spot at his table, and some guy's like shouting like five questions in a row about him fishing. You know, it's like they're having a one-on-one conversation, but there's like 100 people there, and it's much different. And I thought, if anyone wants to take a look at the tweet, Dan Wolken had a really interesting tweet about how he kind of feels like this whole system of Media Days is a little bit outdated, that maybe you don't really need a big event like this to kind of get people excited about college football, that the kind of media landscape never really stops. And, you know, it's an interesting point. I think, you know, reasonable people could disagree on it, but, you know, I think that you come here, there's not a lot of groundbreaking news happening from it.
Well, I mean, that's been a topic of conversation for coaches, not necessarily from the media slant, but they've been talking a little bit about recruiting and how it's become a spring event. It's really, Jimbo Fisher was talking about how his assistants are having to work much harder than they've ever had on the trail, and that kind of helps that point where it feels like this has become a 12-month or close to it sport anyway, not necessarily in that you have 9, 10 months of games, because you only have 4 months of games, but just the process of recruiting and all the content that's out there has certainly stretched further and further in recent years.
Yeah, and I don't think any media is complaining about coming to this. I mean, they get a chance to, you know, get some free food and hang out for a few days, but I mean, I do think the coaches might not love it, and even hear that from Pruitt when he started out, you know, saying it's not, you don't love coming to this, but you know, it's you're right. It's it, I think when you when you're talking to, when you're covering college football and you're covering college football in the Southeast, you know, there is every day probably something you could be writing about or something you could be covering or something you're paying attention to. Recruiting's huge. You know, facilities updates, what you know, administrative stuff, just coaching changes. It goes on forever. It literally never will end. So you know, it's not like you need a big event in July to be like, oh look, it's back, because it never really went anywhere. I mean, we've been talking about football even during Auburn making that run in the College World Series. Football's, you know, still the biggest deal in Auburn. Doesn't matter what's going on besides that.
Sam Blum joining us here on Sports Call live from Radio Row. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at SamBlum3. And as you pointed out on Twitter a little bit ago, Chuck Person has another hearing happening tomorrow, right?
It's the big one. I mean, this is really going to be the one where they decide, is he going to be going to jail or not? And you've looked at some of these other guys who have been in part of this, you know, scandal in college basketball that were arrested around this time, and they, you know, haven't, they've gotten leniency. They haven't really been sent to jail, but I think that the sentencing guidelines for his offense that he pleaded guilty to, you know, will call for about a 2-year sentence, maximum of 5 years, obviously. So it'll be interesting to see. I mean, he's gotten some support from important people, even like Sonny Smith, you know, obviously the broadcaster and coaching legend in Auburn. But it'll be interesting to see if that really plays a role, if the precedent that's kind of been set in the last few cases plays any role in whether or not he gets prison time. You know, I think it's been really interesting to see kind of the letters his lawyers have put out about the reasons why he was, you know, conducted himself in this manner. It was a lot of about him just kind of being broke and, you know, desperate at that time. So, you know, I don't necessarily, I mean, you can decide if that's an excuse or a valid excuse or should he go to prison, but, you know, Judge Prescott tomorrow is going to make that ruling tomorrow at 11 a.m.
Make sure you follow him on Twitter at SamBlum3, and also make sure you check out their great work at AL.com. His colleague, Tom Green, expected to join us a little bit later in the week.
Wow.
Sam, we really do appreciate you joining us. Leading off for Tom Green, we don't want your Mets to play well over the next couple of days, us being Braves country right here. But nonetheless, we thank you so much for joining us, Sam.
Well, yes. Go Mets. Why not?
We're back with more in just a little bit. Sports Call live from SEC Media Days.